My dearly beloved in Christ, on this Mother's Day, I would like to speak, much as I have in past years on Mother's Day, to speak about our three mothers. And this is a topic that I think bears repeating each year. Who are our three mothers? Our own natural mother, who brought us into this world and nurtured us and cared for us. Our Holy Mother, the Church, and our Blessed Mother in heaven. So I would like to briefly comment on each of these mothers. And first of all, our own human mother, who brought us into this world, cared for us, provided for us, sacrificed for us, cooked the meals, washed the clothes, and so forth. And especially, we think of all those lessons that we learn from our mothers. Because the mother is the first and the most lasting teacher of every child. The one whose lessons sink the deepest and are remembered throughout one's life. And what gratitude we owe our mothers. There are no words to express our debt of gratitude and the importance of praying for our mothers, whether living or deceased. So we thank them today and we love them, express our love and our gratitude. Now, just recently, somebody referred me to a website that has an interesting story. And the title is The Mothers of Lou. Lou as in L-U. That's the name of a town in Italy, about 50 miles east of Turin in northern Italy, in Piedmont. And in 1881, maybe it was because of the sermon of the priest about vocations, but in 1881, the mothers of Lou got together and they decided to have a vigil for vocations. And I don't remember all the things they did. I remember every Tuesday was something. They all came to the church every Tuesday and recited prayers. They received Holy Communion on the first Sunday of every month for this intention of vocations. And again, prayed for vocations. Now, this little town of Lou, Italy, has a population of about 1,200. And from that point, 1881, until 1946, there were 323 vocations from that little town. The most striking was from the Rinaldi family. The Rinaldi family, which gave 5 priests and 2 nuns to the church, all of them became Salesians, the order founded by St. John Bosco, because he was very active in the area of Piedmont, the area around Turin. And one of those 5 priests, Father Philip Rinaldi, became the 3rd superior general of the Salesian order. And so these religious and priests, whether diocesan or religious, and the nuns, they would get together every 10 years for a reunion. They'd come back to the little town, and the first year they did that was 1946, which is why I mentioned the 323 vocations from the time they started their prayers and their vigil and so forth from 1881 up until that time. So it reminds us of the role of the mother, not only informing her children, but earning graces. And regarding vocations, Pope St. Pius X said, he said something very interesting. He said, a vocation comes from God, but it comes through the heart of the mother. He said, it comes from the heart of God, but it goes through the heart of the mother. So, in addition to all the other prayers and things that mothers do, especially you mothers, remember to pray for vocations. Now, why do we call the church Holy Mother, the Church? This is an unusual name for the Catholic Church, and we use it all the time, Holy Mother Church. Because if you think of what a mother does for her children, the Church does the same thing for us on a spiritual level. First of all, the Church feeds us. The Church feeds us through the sacraments and the Mass, the graces of the sacraments. The Church also brings us into life, the sacrament of baptism, and then nurtures us throughout life, and then teaches us. Because those poor Protestants who think I can just read the Bible and be instructed and God will reveal it to me, well, no wonder there are thousands upon thousands of different Protestant denominations because of fallen human nature, the darkness of our intellect as a result of original sin, and so many people reading what's in the Bible and misinterpreting and being led astray. So our Holy Mother, the Church, not only brought us into the spiritual life and nurtures us, but she also teaches us. And that's why we have sermons, the explanation of the epistles and gospels of the faith, and why we read spiritual reading, and we can read the teachings of Holy Mother Church in her councils and from the popes and so forth. So if you think about what a mother does for her children, the Catholic Church does for all of us who are the children of Holy Mother Church. But just as a child owes gratitude, respect, and love to his or her mother, so we also, as loyal children of the Church, owe a great love and debt of gratitude to the Church. How can we repay that? First and foremost, by being good Catholics, being a credit to our mother, the Church. Second, by striving to spread the faith, first and foremost by our prayers and our good example, but also when opportunity presents itself to bring the faith to others, to maybe give them something to read, to answer their questions, and to bring others to love and know our mother, the Church. So remember that reciprocal duty. The Church nurtures us, teaches us, instructs us, helps us in the spiritual life. We in turn ought to love Holy Mother Church and be a credit to her. But especially during this month of May, we think of our Heavenly Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And what a beautiful title for Our Lady, Our Blessed Mother. There's a wonderful prayer that we pray after Mass. We pray usually after the Rosary, very beloved by Catholics, called the Hail Holy Queen. Nobody knows for certain who wrote it. Common belief of researchers is that it was written by a monk named Hermann Reichenau. Some believe it was written by Saint Bernard of Clairvaux or other religious, but it came into being, was written around the year 1000 or 1100, thereabouts. So we've had the Hail Holy Queen in the Church for 9 or 10 centuries, and it is greatly loved by the faithful. St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori wrote an entire book, beautiful book on Our Lady called The Glories of Mary, in which he goes through the Hail Holy Queen word for word and explains it, quoting from many saints and doctors of the Church and the early Church Fathers. A wonderful book to read if you've never read. Three of the words that we say in the Hail Holy Queen bear special emphasis: our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So we say, Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Why do we call Our Lady our life, our sweetness, and our hope? Well, first of all, our life, of course, means our supernatural life, our spiritual life. Because Our Lady, as the mediatrix of all graces, dispenses the graces of God to us, especially sanctifying grace, the graces of the sacraments and so forth. We have all of these in least one sense or another through our Blessed Mother, who brought the Redeemer into the world, who gave us the Church and the sacraments. So she is our life. She also is our sweetness, because there is something about that devotion to our Blessed Mother that is tender, that is beautiful, that is sweet, that is gentle, that our Blessed Mother will never refuse even a sinner, even an habitual sinner, who turns to her in true devotion, in earnestness, in fervent prayer. Our Lady could not cast off even the greatest sinner. In fact, spiritual writers tell us that even Judas would have been forgiven and saved had he only turned to our Blessed Mother after his sin. because she cannot reject anyone. She knows that her son died to save us, and so she loves us. And so there is that aspect of sweetness, of tenderness, about this devotion to our Blessed Mother that is attractive, that helps us to turn to her. And finally, she is our hope, because when we reflect upon our own sins, our unworthiness, we fear. We rightly fear God's just wrath. We rightly fear judgment. And yet, when we go to our Blessed Mother and we go through our Blessed Mother, we have hope. She gives us hope and courage, encouragement with our Divine Lord. I mentioned the book by St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori called The Glories of Mary. In that book, he tells many, many stories, many examples. One of them is about a man named Charles. And this particular Charles was the son of St. Bridget of Sweden. And so you would think, well, the son of a saint, he must have been a very holy man. Sadly, however, Charles was somewhat wayward. He entered the army, and as you may know, St. Bridget was a mystic, had visions. Well, he died in battle, and she greatly feared for his salvation, and she had a vision of his judgment. And at his judgment, he was saved, and our Blessed Mother was there, and the devil began to complain. The devil said, in his last hours, I tried to get to him. And he said to Christ, your mother wouldn't let me get close. So it wasn't fair. So he should be mine, because he was mine much of his life. And when it came to his last hours, and he repented of his sins, and he received the sacraments and so forth, I tried to get close to tempt him, but I couldn't get close, because your mother wouldn't let me. And so I think it's a beautiful story that helps us to see how our Blessed Mother intercedes for her children, even her wayward children. Let us, during this month of May, take great confidence, great hope in our life, our sweetness, and our hope in our Blessed Mother. Turn to her, redouble your efforts, examine yourself, your conscience, on this question. Do I have the devotion to our Blessed Mother that I should? Or, if I do practice devotion to our Blessed Mother, is it the true devotion? Have I consecrated myself to our Blessed Mother as a slave of love to Jesus through Mary? And do I practice and live that devotion? Let us then reflect today and throughout this month on our mothers, our own mother, our Holy Mother, the Church, our Blessed Mother in heaven. Honor them, love them, and be a faithful, good son or daughter of such good mothers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.